Amen. Amen. I'm thankful you're here this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 1. I'd like to say it's good to see Crawford Mims with us this morning. We're glad that you're feeling well enough to be here today. It's always good to see you here. God is good, and God is at work. And I hope today that you know Him. If you don't, I hope before you leave here today that you will. This year we have been talking about renewal. We've been talking about renewal in our lives and in our hearts and in our church family and our homes for Jesus Christ. We've talked about renewal in discipleship, in worship, in ministry, in fellowship. And we've experienced some growth in those areas as we have looked and seen how God is working. And today, beginning today and moving forward for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about renewal in our lives in evangelism. In evangelism, in reaching our world for Jesus Christ. Reaching the world for Jesus. Telling people about Jesus. Telling people what Jesus Christ has done for you. We're going to also have some opportunities to go and tell. We're going to come together on the first Sunday night of each month in May, June, July, and August, and go out and do what we call Winning Wilsonville. We're going to strive to reach this community for Jesus Christ. We're going to come together at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on these Sundays, and we're going to go out and we're going to knock on doors and we're going to tell people about Jesus. We're going to tell people about His love and invite them to come and be a part of this church family if they don't have a church that they are attending. We're going to go out and just let the world know that Jesus is alive and well, and we're excited to serve Him and to know Him and to tell others about Him. I hope that you'll plan on being a part of this. If you don't feel comfortable in talking, we'll be able to put you with a team, and someone on that team will be able to do the talking until hopefully you feel comfortable doing that. And it'll be a good time together as we are faithful in doing what God told us to do, as He said, to go into the world and share Him. Folks, I hope that you'll come together and do that. Have you ever had something in your life that you just had to tell somebody? Something that maybe you weren't supposed to tell? Maybe you knew somebody was expecting a baby and they told you, but they didn't want everybody to know yet. Or maybe there was a marriage proposal about to take place and they'd shared it with you, but everybody's not supposed to know it yet. But you just see somebody and you got to tell somebody. You know something in your heart. You know it's good news. You just got to tell somebody. We're going to be talking about a man today who had something happen in his life and he couldn't keep quiet about it. He had to tell. He could not keep the news and the joy of his heart quiet. He had to tell anybody and everybody that would hear. Let's pick up in Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 40. It says, "And a leper came to Jesus, beseeching Him, and falling on his knees before Him and saying, 'If You are willing, You can make me clean.' Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out His hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing. Be cleansed.' Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And He sternly warned him and immediately sent him away and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them.' But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and spread the news around to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to Him from everywhere." I got to tell somebody. I got to tell somebody what Jesus did for my life. I've got to tell somebody what Jesus did in saving my soul. I've got to tell somebody. This man, he had a problem. He had a need for healing in his life. He was hurting. He was alone. You know, there are many people in the world today. There are many people in this room today who are looking for healing to take place. Maybe it's for a disease. Maybe it's for fears. Maybe it's for anxieties or for hurts or for brokenness. Maybe some accident has taken place. There's so many other things that we look for to God for cleansing and healing in our lives. But something we all know is that every person at some point needs healing for sin. We are a sin-sick world. And the Bible teaches us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's all of us. Every person. We need healing. Here's a man who has come to Jesus, and he needs healing in his life. He's heard the stories. Jesus has been working. Jesus has been doing things. This man had leprosy. Now, leprosy was a horrible disease. It's contagious disease that affects the skin, the mucous membranes, and the nerves. It causes discoloration. It causes lumps on the skin. And in the more severe cases, it causes a disfigurement and deformities to take place. And at this time, there was no cure. There was nothing that could be done for him. There was nothing that anybody could do at this point. This man was looking for hope in his hopelessness. He was helpless. And he was looking. He was searching. He was an outcast. This man was an outcast in society. Because of their looks, because of the disease, because of the contagious nature of the disease, if a person became a leper, the only people he could be around were people with leprosy. They had colonies of lepers where they would go and so that they would not have to be alone, but they could really do nothing. They couldn't hold a job. They couldn't be around people in any kind of way. They were not allowed to go to the temple. They were unclean. And because they were deemed as being unclean, if they were out and about somewhere and they saw somebody on the road, they saw somebody in the vicinity, they had to holler out, "Unclean! Unclean!" So the people wouldn't come in contact with them. They wouldn't get too close to them. That would be a horrible way to live life, wouldn't it? This is where this man is at. He's unclean. He is diseased. He knows it. He knows he's got no future. He knows he's got no hope. He knows he can have no job. He knows he can have no family. He knows he can't go to worship with everybody else. He is helpless and he is hopeless and he is in need. But on this day, Jesus is in town. Jesus is in town. Jesus has been healing and he's been working and he's been sharing. And on this day, he sees a little bit of hope in his hopelessness. He sees someone who might can help. He sees someone who has been doing things. So in his hopelessness, this man turns to Jesus. This man turns to Jesus and he says, "Look, I've seen what you've done. I've heard about what you've done. And I know you can heal me. You can cleanse my life. If you're willing. If you're willing to do this, it would mean a lot. It would change everything." Now this man had probably gone anywhere and everywhere he possibly could to find hope, to find healing, to find a cleansing to take place. And on this day, he finds Jesus. I want to ask you this. This man, at this time, this would have been the first time that he met Jesus. First time that he had the opportunity to come to Jesus. But how many times in our helplessness and our hopelessness do we wait until the last thing to turn to Jesus? We've been everywhere. We've done everything within our power to make it right. To get this situation handled. To get it put behind us. And nothing seems to work. Nothing seems to help. Everything about what's going on. We've seen people. We've talked to people. We've got encouragement from people. We've got words from people. But nothing seems to have worked. And finally, at some point, we turn to God. Finally, at some point, we lift our voice and we say, "Look, I've done everything I know to do except to turn to you." The thing we should have done first, we've done everything we possibly could until finally we begin to remember and realize there is hope in the name of Jesus. Aren't you thankful this morning? There is hope in the name of Jesus. Now this man comes to Jesus and he says, "Look, I know if you're willing, you can do this. If you're willing." And Jesus looked at him and said, "I'm willing. I'm willing. I'm willing and ready today to reach out to you." Folks, Jesus knows your hurts. He knows all the hurts of our lives. He knows the needs that we have. He knows what's best for us. Now, in every situation, Jesus doesn't work in the same way that He works with a leper. We know with Paul. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. And he prayed over and over again that God would remove it. But God didn't. And sometimes we need to realize that God works in different ways than what we want. And we have to trust Him. Sometimes God works in ways that are not the same type of healing that we're looking for. But God always works in a way that is for our best and for His glory. And we have to trust Him in that. We have to trust Him and follow His leadership and guidance in our lives as He continues to work. We don't always understand it. And we don't have to understand it. But you've heard me say this from the pulpit before. When we pray for healing, sometimes the greatest healing God can give to us is for us to go home to be with Him. When we get to heaven, we're not going to have to worry about doctors. We're going to be well. We're not going to have to worry about taking that medication every morning. You thankful for that? You ever forget that medication in the morning? You know, when things will be better. Things are going to be wonderful on that day. But on this day, Jesus said, "I'm willing to do what you're asking. I'm willing to change your life today. I'm willing to change you physically today from where you are to where you long to be. I'm willing to do something in your life." Jesus saw the need. He saw the disease. He saw the hurt of not being allowed to participate in society. He saw the man looking to Him as His only hope. His only hope. There was no other hope. There was no other place to turn. There was no other doctor to go to. There was nothing that he could do. But here he turns to Jesus as his only hope. And he says, I know today that I can trust you. I know today that you can heal me. You can cleanse my life if you're willing." Jesus saw this in him. He saw the need. He saw the hurt. He saw the loneliness in this man. And he reached out in love and in compassion. You realize Jesus always reaches out in love and compassion. Even when He says no. Even when He's working in a different way than what we think He ought to. He's still loving. He's still caring. He's still ministering. He's still doing things in our lives, in our hearts, in our homes, in our family, in our churches. He is still at work. He is still doing the things that need to be done. His love is the greatest love that there is. And in His compassion, He reached out to a man. He reached out to a man who had come to Him, broken and lonely and in need. Folks, for those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're to reach out with that same type of love and compassion. We're to reach out to those who are hurting. We're to reach out to those who feel hopeless and helpless. We're to reach out to those around us who don't know where to turn and don't know what to do. We're to reach out with the love of Jesus Christ and show them that love in ways that we may not even understand. It may be a hug. It may be taking a meal. It may be sitting with somebody in silence. But in some way we show love and compassion, because we know we have been shown love and compassion beyond anything that we deserve. Jesus reached out in love to this man, and the man was cleansed. Jesus healed the man with a cleansing that could only come from God. He took the leprosy away. Jesus gave this man his life back. Now he could get a job. Now he could have a family. Now he could go to the temple and worship. Now everything had changed. Now all the things that he had had going on in his life were going to be different. Now he was cleansed. Now he was whole. The man had a new life. You know what it means to have a new life? Folks, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know what it means to have a new life. This man was given a new life. He met Jesus one day, and it changed everything for him. It changed everything. Folks, when we meet Jesus, it changes everything, not just from the day that we pass on from this world, but from the moment we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it changes everything. We've been cleansed. We've been made whole. Our relationship with God that was broken, that we had no hope of, all of a sudden it's been restored through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus has paid the price, and because of what He has done, my life is different. My life is changed. All of a sudden, I've got a purpose to live. A purpose that has real meaning to it. A purpose that has an eternal meaning to it. My life has I've got a reason to live. And I can show that love of Jesus to everyone around me. And as we just mentioned, that relationship with God that was so broken and messed up because of my sin, it's been restored. Once again, I have union with God. I have the opportunity to live for Him and to let others see Him in me. His life was changed because he met Jesus. I want to ask you this morning, have you met Jesus? Have you met Jesus? Folks, I'm not asking you this morning if you know about Jesus. There's a lot of people in this world that know a lot about Jesus, but they've never met Jesus. They just know about Him. They know what's been said about Him. They know the stories of the Bible about Him. But there is a difference in your life when you know Jesus as opposed to knowing about Jesus. There's a lot of people that come to church all their lives and never meet Jesus. There are going to be people that stand before God on Judgment Day that think they're getting into heaven, but they've never met Jesus. They've never accepted His love and His forgiveness. We know that through what Jesus says in Matthew. There's going to be people there that say, "Lord, Lord." And He's going to say, "I'm sorry. I never knew you. I knocked on the door of your heart. You wouldn't answer. I wanted to come in, but you wouldn't invite me. I waited outside. I've been there for you." But let me tell you, Judgment Day is going to be too late. The Bible tells us there's going to come a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But on Judgment Day, it's too late. That's why Paul tells the church in Corinth, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Not tomorrow. We may not have tomorrow. We don't know if tomorrow is going to come or not. But we've got today. We've got this moment. We've got this opportunity. I want to encourage you today, if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you have never accepted Him into your life, believing that He's been to the cross, that He's been to the grave, that He's risen from the grave, and that the blood that He shed was for your sin, I invite you today to give your heart to Jesus. There's no greater gift that's ever been given than the gift of Jesus' life on that cross for us. The sacrifice He made is beyond our comprehension. It is so great. He loves you. He cares about you. He knows what's going on in your life. And He longs to be your Savior. And He longs for you to follow Him as your Lord. This man had a new life because he met Jesus. His disease was gone. His skin was clean. One moment he was sick, and the next he was well. One moment he had no hope, and the next moment, he had Jesus. Wow. Now, for a person that had leprosy to be declared clean, he had to go to the priest. The priest would examine him and declare him clean. He would bring certain things, and then he would be allowed to be back in the fellowship of society again. Folks, to have fellowship with God, all we need is Jesus. He's been the sacrifice for us. His life was changed. Not only for now, but for all eternity. This man met Jesus. Jesus changed his life. Jesus changed his hope. Jesus changed his future. Jesus changed his attitude. Folks, Jesus changes everything. If you know Jesus, Jesus changed everything in your life. And now we get to the point for the title of the message. He couldn't keep quiet. He couldn't keep quiet about it. Jesus said, "Don't tell anybody right now." Why was that? Well, because Jesus was trying to minister. He was trying to teach. He was trying to do things. And we see in the Scripture that once word got out, He had to get away from the city because there were so many people trying to seek Him and looking at what He had done, hearing about what He had done. Here was a man with leprosy. and not been allowed to be around people for a long time. And all of a sudden, here he was in the middle of the community, praising the name of Jesus. He didn't just go around saying, "Look, I'm clean." He said, "Jesus did it." Jesus changed my life. Now here's the question for you. Has Jesus changed your life? Got to tell somebody. I've got to tell somebody what Jesus has done. Jesus came into this sinful self of me and cleansed my life. He washed my sin away. He forgave me of my past. And He gave me a future. Jesus has worked and blessed in my life in so many ways. If we'd be honest this morning and take a look at what Jesus has done for us, I don't think we could leave this room without telling somebody. If we'd step back and take a look at the change that Jesus has made in our lives. Here's a man who physically was an outcast with no hope. Folks, we were outcasts with no hope of heaven. Jesus paid the price, and because of what He has done, we are accepted. We are forgiven. We have hope. We have a future. We have a life. We got to tell somebody. There's a world all around us right out here in Wilsonville, Alabama. They're lost. They're hopeless. They're looking and they're searching for something. They don't know what they're searching for. But I can tell you they're searching for Jesus. They're searching for the Jesus that saved you and saved me. And this is the same Jesus that'll save them. He loves them just like He loves you. He died for them just like He died for you. We got to tell them. We got to get out and tell them. Last week I went to a home. Lady comes to the door, but she won't open the door. She said, "I'm not going to open the door because my husband's not home." I said, "I understand that." We left her a pamphlet and went on our way. That man came to us the other day and he said, "Were you the one that came to my home?" I said, "Yes." He said, "I'm glad somebody's still doing that." Folks, I don't understand why we're all not still doing that. We're all not telling our friends and our neighbors and lifting up the name of Jesus in everything that we do every day of our lives, bringing praise and honor and glory to Him. Got to tell somebody what Jesus did. I'm going to tell folks if I've got a new baby on the way. I'm going to tell folks if I've got a new son-in-law or a new daughter-in-law. I'm going to tell somebody if my football team is doing good. I'm going to tell somebody if I get this big promotion at work. I'm going to tell somebody all these things that are not eternal. We got to tell people about Jesus. We got to get excited once again about letting the world know who Jesus is to us. We come to church and we like to talk Jesus and how great He is and how wonderful He is. And it's easy here. We know these folks. We worship with these folks. We spend time with these folks. We enjoy sharing with these folks about Jesus. And that's great. We need to do that. But folks, we got to take it out there. We got to take it beyond the walls of the church. We got to get out where the people are. Jesus didn't spend all His time in the temple. Jesus was out with the people, sharing and ministering, meeting needs, caring, loving, changing lives. So I want to encourage you this week. If you have not told someone about Jesus, if it's not a habit of yours, I want to encourage you this week. Tell somebody that doesn't know Jesus about Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you what, when you do it and somebody accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior, it's life changing. You're going to want to do it again and again and again. It's exciting to do what God has called us out to do. God longs for His church to reach out for Him. Are you ready? This morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to come today. Give your heart to Jesus. Several around this room, we'd love to sit down with you in the Word of God and just spend a few minutes with you so you can know that you have Jesus in your life, in your heart. And you feel the love and forgiveness of Him and what He's done. There may be those who may want to come and pray for someone that God may have already laid on your heart. Yeah, I know I've got to tell. They've been on my heart for a long time. I just haven't. And we make a lot of excuses. And there's only one reason to tell them. And His name's Jesus. And folks, that's enough. I invite you to come today. God, as we come before You this morning, thank You for loving us and caring for us. Thank You for going to the cross for our sin. Thank You for rising from the grave and the life that You give to us. Father, we pray today that You would work in our lives and in our hearts. And give us an excitement about living life for You. Father, so many times we get caught up in our own stuff. Father, we're at a point today where we got to tell somebody. We got to tell somebody while we've got the chance to do it. Give us wisdom. Give us strength. Guide us at this moment. And God, if there are those here today who do not know You as their Lord and Savior, I pray that this will be a day that lives will be surrendered to You. We put it in Your hands and ask for Your will to be accomplished. In Your name I pray. Amen. As we stand and we sing right now, You come.